Everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer. I am the host of this weekly broadcast, as well as the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, who sponsors this broadcast. If you don't know anything about us at Sped Homeschool, we empower families to home educate children with learning differences. And so we're on live from 12:30 to 1:30 every Tuesday afternoon, and we cover a different topic. And each month, those topics change, and then the subtopics that we talk about each week are part of that. This month, we're focusing on mental health. May is Mental Health Month, and we really thought that since we don't have a whole lot of content based around that, that we would take a month to focus on mental health, especially since it's a growing issue and across the world, and something that we want to let parents know there are things that you can do to help students that struggle in this area, or even yourself. I know Mary's got some great things to share with us. Thank you so much, Mary, for joining us and your willingness to take time out of your schedule to share.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
Yeah. So Mary is one of our partners, and we'll have her talk about some of the services that she offers as well, because I definitely want you to connect with her if you just feel like the things that she's sharing is really resonating with you, or you really need to dive in deeper with her with some of the issues that you want to walk through. And we realize this, some of the things that you may be struggling with your student, or maybe even yourself, they aren't things that you want to post out for everybody to see, and that is understandable. But if it is something that you want to share, that you want us to discuss, if you're watching on YouTube, you can post in the feed of the video on YouTube, and we'll be able to see those comments. The same thing is true for our Facebook page. If you are watching in our Facebook group, the support group, you do have to give permission to StreamYard to be able to share those comments, just because it is on a public space, and that is a private group. And then if you're watching on the Empowered Homeschool Network, just click into the YouTube video, and that way you'll be able to make comments where we can see them. If you make comments on that platform, we won't see them till after the show. So just a little housekeeping there. So, Mary, I would love for our audience to get to know you. And this is kind of how I love starting our conversations, because there's always a story and a passion behind every person who shares, and why they just feel like this is something I could talk on for an hour or more. And usually it's more. if you could just let us know a little bit about you, your background in helping people with anxiety and depression, and just why you're so passionate about the work that you do.
Certainly. I'm going to turn off my phone. Before, that would be terrible. One of the reasons that I got involved in this is that I have struggled a great deal with anxiety. Mm. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I went to a very religious Lutheran school, and by the time I was at my senior year, over that summer, I developed this, I guess it was shingles or something.
Oh, wow.
But, and that is what it was from. Hmm. And back in those days, all they did was give you a lot of Valium. Hmm. And of course, my parents were kind of objected. So it just was a real struggle. Hmm. And I got through it, and I went into teaching, and I taught for quite some time, and then went back to school for school psychology, mainly mm-hmm. to help teachers, because I thought that was such a highly stressful job. I was anxious about that too. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, and then I would always take continuing education, and I would think, oh, you know, if I could just tweak it a little bit, if I just had some support to move what I'm doing just a tad, then life would be easier.
Right.
And so I pursued that and enjoyed, I very much still enjoy it, except that many times it turns out to be test in place. And yeah. all anyone mm-hmm. wants to know is whether somebody qualifies for services.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, this qualifying for the services and getting the right accommodations, learning to advocate for yourself, those are all very important things, which is then why I went into private practice, because I wanted to work with people who actually did want to, I could actually stick with the kids and stick with the parents and know what happened after the IEP meeting and how are we going to keep that going? And sometimes dealing with a great bureaucracy is very frustrating and causes a lot of just a great deal of distress on the children and on the parents, on the system.
So you're adding anxiety to anxiety, basically.
Yes. And having been a fairly anxious person myself, and having that, well, if I do meet this bar, maybe the bar was too low, and I should set it higher. So, like, just never really being satisfied, and just saying, you know, good enough is good enough, which is kind of a must for the kids I work with, mainly very anxious, very high functioning, and then the anxiety will feed into a depression where they are constantly trying to meet unrelenting standards, and with the depression they don't even want to get out of bed,
right?
So they don't have the motivation to even do what they were doing before. It's like a burnt out bulb. Or a burning out bulb.
Right.
Where
it's a good picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And being anxious and being depressed over a long period of time actually will make changes within your brain. So once you get on a negative track, the neurons tend to fire along that track. You really have to retrain
it.
It is hard work.
Yeah. And that's hard when you're already at a low place.
Exactly. So.
Well, we're going to dive into this topic, but like I said at the beginning, if you have any questions, comments, things that you would like answered while we're on, we would definitely want to address those. Mary, is it a good time for me to bring up your slides?
Sure. This is what we're going to talk about. And I love this quote. It's from an unknown person, but it's like being scared and tired at the same time.
Yeah.
And I liken it to being, so if you were in the car and you needed to go forward, but then you've got one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas, and this is where you are the whole time. With your idle speed going higher and higher, and you're not moving anywhere.
Right. Oh, that's, it's a good way to, mentally as a parent, to understand where students might be.
Yeah, and this is just how, this is my website, and these are the areas. I don't do everything. I found that you cannot do everything well.
Right, exactly. That is a very good point to make.
So, my main counseling niches are body-focused repetitive behaviors and attention deficit hyperactivity and executive functioning.
Okay.
The body-focused behaviors, trichotillomania, is compulsive hair pulling. Some children will pull out their hair, some it's eyelashes, some it's eyebrows. Dermatillia is constantly picking at your skin, at your face. And along this area of body focused, you've got extreme nail biting, where down to the point where it's infectious, non-suicidal self-injury, although that is a very complicated, complicated issue. So none of the behaviors are actually anything that's going to necessarily kill you,
mm-hmm.
that is dangerous that way. Trichotillomania, some sufferers will ingest the hair, and that can cause digestive problems, and right. that can be quite serious. The skin pickers can pick until they get something so infected that it can't be undone. And cutters will just make a mistake, you know. Even if they're non-suicidal, they're just doing it, you know, look how bad I feel. They could just make a mistake and end up hospitalized or worse.
Well, I'm so glad we're addressing these, because we don't talk about this very much, but the prevalence is there, and and it deserves a conversation, if not more.
Yes, and the reason is there is a great deal of shame associated with these. And I've also, the people that I work with, not only are those children or young adults high functioning, the whole family is. And this is probably the first problem they have run into that is so persistent that they cannot, because they're the type of people that, well, let's name it, we'll claim it, and then we'll get after it, and then it should go away. And it doesn't. It has a it has a very addictive quality to it. And that is frustrating, because the kids too are like, I don't understand why I can't fix this.
Yeah, there's no 10 easy steps to getting over.
No. And because it's addictive, it will crop up again. So during treatment, you have to prepare them for that, so that they don't freak out and try to hide it again.
Right, or feel like a failure.
Yeah,
and make it worse the next time around.
Right, and many parents don't know what's happening, because the kids will pull underneath their hair and then do like the big comb over until they can't do it anymore. So it's a fascinating group.
All right. Are we ready to head on?
Yeah. Attention deficit. I can evaluate for that. And then the third thing on that slide has to do with working memory and attention. It's sort of the foundation for your reading comprehension, your math, and your other academic skills. And this is a digital program I have called CogMed that the Pearson group puts out.
Right.
And I like it. It's for attention deficit and working memory. It's drug free, and it's intuitive, because with many digital things, if you play the games and you get good enough at them, you just keep playing them. This resets, and it also is limited. There's 40 sessions to it. So now we can move on.
All right. All right, so we're going to talk about signs of anxiety. I'm assuming they're different in different kids, but there are probably some commonalities there.
Right. What anxiety does is it makes it so that you are always fighting with the fight and the flight system. And I picked the young man, because I've had kids who were very anxious, and what they did was freeze. That was their coping mechanism. And they would actually just shut down. I noticed this, a young man, I was evaluating him, and it was high stakes because he wanted accommodations. But he just stopped. And his mother had to take him home and then bring him back. And then we had to do it in shorter segments, because at some point the anxiety overwhelmed him and he just stopped. just wow. stopped. Some kids that will, with attention problems and anxiety, they will start moving around.
Ah.
And get themselves in a lot of trouble because they won't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, and the younger kids, you see that much more.
Okay.
The dropping the pencil and then crawling around trying to get it back up. And mm-hmm. all it means is, I don't think I can do this.
Or right. So it's they're trying to communicate something, but they don't have the words or the idea
right.
of what actually is bothering them.
Right.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as they get older, you see the girl in the middle, it just turns into something where you wouldn't call her fidgety. But she is suffering nevertheless, really
internalizing it and trying to hide it and, you know, just, yeah.
That's a really good word.
Using socially acceptable, I guess you would say, ways of dealing with that anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But still, yes,
right.
It's there.
And she's biting her nails. And a lot of times you will see kids also then picking at their hair or fooling mm-hmm. around with their hair.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not something, they're not calling, they don't want to call any attention to themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And they go through that, and then you get to the third person's point, where I had a young lady who it's very, very slow processor, but she had turned out with headaches, migraines, to the point where she couldn't go to school a lot of the time. Her stomach, they thought she had an ulcer. They thought she was back and forth to the doctor all the time. And now that she's gotten, and she was a skin picker also, but now we've worked together for quite some time, and all of those things have gone away. And she's another one, extremely bright, and really fought accepting who she was and the fact that this is always going to be something to work on.
But
she overcame that. I talked to her yesterday. She had just finished calling her college. She's going to FSU next year and making sure she had the right accommodations. And see,
very
that's
cool.
a victory.
Right.
A lot of your kids are so anxious that they won't make the phone call.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
and then, yeah, we just say they're being lazy or lots of other things. And there's these underlying issues that are there. And we actually exasperate it and make them more anxious when we do that.
Right. The other signs are, you know, tearing up very easily, crying very easily, getting very easily frustrated. They get frustrated, but then they refuse to leave the task. They won't take the break.
Right. Yeah.
Because I have to keep working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that internal bar they've set for themselves, like you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Are we ready to go on to the next slide?
Sure.
Okay. And then we move on to depression.
Yeah. And I think the basic thing about depression is the tendency. Now they're isolating.
Yes.
They're in their room. They don't want to come out for dinner. If they do come out for dinner, they don't want to talk to anybody. Everything's fine. And if they were in a number of sports, they don't want to do it anymore. If they were in music, they don't want to go. And they're in their room. A lot of times, if they're allowed the phone in the room, they are just making it worse. They're going on all kinds of group chats, just places where they are being emotionally abused, and they can't leave that alone. There's sometimes anxiety will make you act out socially because you're not sure if you're doing the right thing, well, then you become the target.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're that guy or you're that girl. You just keep laughing. I hate your laugh. And then that goes all into the group chat. And
it's like a search for identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know where you fit because you're down so low.
Right. Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And eventually just want to sleep all the time. And then there's anger. Another sign, it's almost better, the kids who are sad because people are trying to comfort them or trying to help
right.
them.
Mm-hmm.
But for many kids, it doesn't come out as sadness. It comes out as anger, frustration, especially teenage boys who will start going into this. They become so irritable, and so sarcastic, and so hard to be around. And and they too got anxious about something. It could have been that they were a big star in middle school lacrosse, and now they don't get any playing time in high school. And so they're really angry about it. And when they tell people, people say, you know, well, you know, just keep going. It'll get better. And they just don't feel that at the moment.
Right.
And boys are starting also to have a lot of body image things. Probably from the internet culture, the Photoshop culture.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's interesting. Yeah, we always equate that with girls, but I can see that, yes, that affecting them as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then the girls, just sad. Sad and really not being able to figure out what is going on.
Right.
Inside or outside, but they do know that they just don't feel right. And there's another, I don't have a picture for this, but the other picture would be a completely happy young person. And sometimes they are covering this all up because there is no way anybody's going to learn about this. And they also feel that it is their job to keep everybody happy. And not to bring anybody down because you don't want to do that.
Right.
And yet you feel terrible all the time.
That was me. I covered it up from fourth grade on. Even married, my husband had no idea. I was depressed and contemplating suicide on a regular basis.
And
you get really good at it.
Yes. And that's why when you hear people say, well, I had no idea. And people will say, well, why not? I mean, it's your kid, right? And no, they are masters. And this is the same with the body focused people. They are masters of subterfuge. They can hide anything.
Wow.
And go to great lengths to hide it.
Right.
And yeah, as you were saying, as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm up, nobody's going to go
anywhere.
Any deeper.
It's good to know, though. I mean, we as parents want to have this easy solution, but you know it's not easy. But being aware is the first step, definitely.
And I've never really come across anybody who was exactly like somebody else. There are some similarities that somebody like me can talk about, but they are all kind of individual. Some of it comes out in the physical, some of it comes out in the emotional, and some people just use other means of escape,
right?
Whether it's compulsive sports playing or compulsive achieving. That's a good way to make sure nobody knows.
Right. Yep.
Be in a lot of clubs.
Just cover it up. Keep covering it up. Yep.
Right.
Lisa, one of our viewers, said too that kids can stay up all night instead of sleep and be another sign of anxiety. And I think you had mentioned that the hard to fall asleep, the ones that they.
Right. Right. And they. And that's a hard one for them to really acknowledge. Like when you try to say, well, what's going on there? Are you worried? You know, you try to teach them to visualize a blackboard and then erase all your troubles. And some people have had luck on Headspace, that app. And one of the things it will do is read stories to you until you fall asleep. And that works for some people. But I had another girl who tried it, and she just said she got interested in the story, then she couldn't go to sleep.
So, yes, like you said, going back again, it's so individualized.
Exactly.
There's lots of ways to figure out if your child's depressed, and lots of ways to work on things.
Right.
So.
And that's the challenge, because we really do want to just get the 10 steps or the 7 ways or the 20. I mean, you see it all over when you Google something.
Exactly. We're quick fix society.
Yep. 7 ways, 6 ways. And the first thing with anybody is you have to really understand that this is what it is.
Right.
And there are ways out, but you have to find your own. It's like on the Knights of the Round Table. All of the knights had to go into the forest, but each had to go on his own way.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's how you find the Grail.
Yep.
There aren't any quick fixes.
Let's go on. Yeah. Oh, I love that you're talking about this. I'm listening to the book Breathe right now, and it's transforming even some breathing techniques I've used.
It is. There are so many different ways to breathe. This box breathing is the one I give everybody first. It's one of their first homework assignments. And they can individualize it, but I have them start with 4. 4 in, hold it for 4, 4 out, and hold it. Or breathe out 4 and continue out, and then in. And they will do that. Then the next time, we really go into how you want to move your shoulders back. You want to keep this area free, and you want to breathe in, and as you breathe in, your tummy goes out as a balloon. And when you breathe out, you push that air back out, and it has to be that way. And that is, you can do that walking, you know. There's a very good book called by Thich Nhat Hanh called The Long Road Turns to Joy. And he was a Vietnamese monk. And he talks about this. So 4 steps you're breathing in, 4 steps you're thankful for being here, 4 steps you're grateful and happy, and then you start all over again. And that's the easiest to practice. I tell people, you get to a red light, you box breathe. You get in the shower, you box breathe. You have to stand in line, you box breathe. Nobody knows you're doing it.
Right.
But you just, that stomach goes out, and then you push the air back. And this is a group I gave them, I give them a lot of credit. I use their stuff often, and I would bet many of the listeners do as well. They're called Go Zen. And they send out printables. I've got a link to their resources, and they work with individual, it's mainly anxious, emotional kids.
Okay.
that's how they started. And they have really gone, if you just go and sign up for their newsletter, you get these free printables all the time. And they also will work with, you know, if you get about 10 people together and buy licenses, they will train you on how to do. I thought it would be good for maybe the little community homeschooling.
Right. Yes. For a pod or a co-op.
A pod or a co-op.
Yeah.
And because you can see this is definitely for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you breathe in and then you make all the flowers. You breathe in the flowers, blow out the candle. Right. Breathe in the flowers, blow out the candle.
Those are good visuals because kids often, how do I breathe? And yes.
I know. And they have one where you've got this hot chocolate and you breathe it in and then you blow the marshmallows all over.
Oh, that's fun for kids.
I probably have more on the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
We'll look. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. This is one. This is breath work also. And this one you can do a couple of ways. I may have this same one on the grounding, but you can either between the intention and the action, there has to be a pause. And so you just pause. And then this is the rainbow one. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale.
Just quick, easy little things, but with the visuals, it makes it so much easier than trying to get super technical and
And these come on cards. So what I had my clients do, the younger ones, is they would get the whole sheet of cards, they would cut them up, and then they would laminate them. And if somebody was having a meltdown or somebody was starting, you'd say, go over and just pick one. That's the one you should do today.
Got it.
And they would go over and do it in their little quiet space.
So it's like kind of like brain breaks, but more quiet and calming types of breaks.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Do you talk a lot about just breathing through your nose versus your mouth? I mean, that's what I'm learning about in this book now, is how important nose breathing is.
Yeah. And alternate nostril breathing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because one side controls one side of your brain and the other side controls the other side of your brain and oxygen getting to it. And it's fascinating.
Right. And Gozen has a series for like middle and high schoolers. And also for these little kids. For the little kids, it's the busy bee breath. So you're in through your nose and then you can hear the buzzing. You can hear the buzzing in your throat. And then for the middle school, it's called breath of the siren. And you breathe in through your nose. And then when you breathe out, you can hear. You put out over your ears and you breathe out.
Okay.
And you can hear the music of the universe. They say.
Well, the universe inside your head, but yes.
Yeah.
It works.
Exactly.
That's good. We got a question from a viewer. Are you okay if we throw that in the middle?
Absolutely.
Okay. She said that, how do you help someone who's addicted to their computer? They use it as an escape.
Oh, man. That is the new biggest problem. That used to be. And it's compounded by the fact that there's so much of their schooling and their books that are on the computer. So you're not sure exactly what they're doing on there. And the kids can kind of teach one another how to circumvent the parent or how to get around the parental controls. I guess all I can say is that I almost truly believe that you have to take it away. And deal with those consequences, because it's taking a coping mechanism, a method of escape that one psychologist, he had the problem with his son. And so what he did was at night, the iPad went in the backpack. And that young man got up in the middle of the night, cut a hole in his backpack, and took that iPad and went back to his bedroom. So what most experts are saying is that the extreme of taking it away from them is going to cause a terrible uproar.
Right.
So they suggest that you sit with them and educate them about garbage in, garbage out. And what are good things to be doing on this computer and what are time wasters. And teach them about how the algorithms are controlling them. And don't you want to be in control of your own life? Don't you want to choose? You don't have to watch that next video that the YouTube throws at you. They're betting that you will, but you can outsmart them. And that seems to be the most effective, because don't do this, I'm going to control you. That just seems to make it worse.
We would always go on a vacation where my husband's like notorious for this. You can't get internet and there's no plugins. We go off the grid. And so devices only last for so long and you've got nothing.
Exactly.
And it's amazing how you rediscover a whole lot of things that you enjoyed that you didn't remember or take advantage of for so long because that computer had always been there.
Right. And the other thing is what families can do is go off the grid. And so everybody does.
Yep.
Because one of the things the kids will say is, well, you're always on yours.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you're always on yours. And you will see families out to dinner and nobody's talking.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I know my team gets mad at me. My phone often gets left in my bathroom and I don't look at it for half of a day. And it's just the way it is. I'm out sitting in my pool. Sorry, I need rest. And you've got to model that.
Right.
That's so true for your kids.
I think modeling, educating them about it, and there are some good little like summer programs that the library will do, where the police can come in and really talk about the very real danger you can get into.
Yes.
Without trying, it will come to you, and it will come as a very
it's very subtle too.
A very non-threatening. Hey, I think you're cute. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question, sort of? I hope so.
Yep. Well, we'll wait for her to respond, and we'll just continue on.
Okay. All right. This
continuation of breathing. Types
exactly.
of things, right? Okay.
And this is breathing with visualization.
Okay.
Because you can breathe just for the physical breathing will definitely help reset that nervous system. But to ground is to visualize your energies going back into the earth.
Well, this goes back a lot to what you were talking about before is those neural pathways. That we develop faulty ones when we have anxiety and depression and the rebuilding of, I did this with my kids when they were depressed and we would, whatever I heard them saying that was untrue, we looked up the biblical version of what was true and I had them meditate on that scripture. I'm like, this is what God says about you. This is what I believe about you. This is what you have to be thinking, not that.
Right. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is true. Think on these things.
Exactly.
And so this is, you visualize the warmth coming up from the heavens and bathing you, and then you give it back. It just flows through you, and it's right there.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Last night in my martial arts class, we were talking about being heavy. And our martial arts instructor talked about how when somebody's, because it's a self-defense class, and he's like, somebody comes and tries to grab you, think heavy, and you become heavy. So it has a lot to do with how you visualize where your body's at.
Right. And this is the Go-Zen. This is for the kids. Loving kindness meditation. May I be safe. May I be happy. And yep. And then this is the middle school. What they did with their middle school program is turn them into superheroes.
Mm.
And so this is the breath of the hero. And I just put, you know, how to do it.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, we'll go on to the next slide.
Go on to the next one.
Let you know, Lisa said that, that she's had a therapist that said it's okay to let them use the computer to reduce anxiety. But I'm assuming you don't agree with that.
Well, see, that's where it gets to be kind of a really naughty question.
Mm.
Knowing how the computer, it depends. Now, like if they're on something like Headspace,
mm-hmm.
If they're maybe playing a game that isn't competitive, like there are some mystery games, clues where you solve things.
Right.
That's fine. However, if you become addicted to that computer, dollars to donuts, you're not solving the mystery.
Mm.
You somehow got caught in that Facebook algorithm, Snapchat, Insta,
right.
Somehow got pulled in that direction.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I wouldn't disagree with the therapist, but I would sure keep an eye on also on whether the anxiety is being reduced. Okay. So then this goes up from the body up into the mind and kind of puts the mind and the body together.
Oh, okay.
And so Brain Gym has just certain things like the double doodle. You're doodling opposite directions with both hands.
Mm-hmm. So kind of that cross and brain lazy, type stuff.
Lazy eights, you're making the infinity sign and following it. Cross crawls, you're going from your elbow to the opposite knee like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good for learning disabilities, all three of these.
Mm-hmm.
And also getting your brain ready to learn.
Yeah.
Yep. And then while you're working or whatever, sometimes you need to raise your level of alertness.
Hmm.
You know, you're anxious. You would think of anxious as being up, but sometimes anxious is just being frozen.
Oh, yeah. Like you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. If it's a plus, it raises your level. If it's a minus, it lowers it.
Oh, okay.
So if you have sour things there, lemon, pickles, it perks you up. Sugarless hard candy, some sour ones, some cinnamon. If you want them to calm down, have them suck on a butterscotch or a vanilla. And it's the same with the smells that are around
really?
You.
Okay.
So a cinnamon or a peppermint or a grapefruit, kind of on the aromatherapist's end, that perks you up. And then these are much more soothing. And there's a whole set of essential oils that have different properties as well.
That's good to know. Yeah.
And then you can fiddle with a fidget, fiddle with a stress ball, whatever you want to do. With hair pullers, I ask them to get a ball that looks kind of like that has a lot of strings on it.
Oh,
so they can search and pull. It kind of mimics the behavior they want to do.
Right. But it's not destructive. Yeah.
Right. And brighten the lights to keep people up. Dim them if they're too
alert.
Too alert, right? It helps kind of de-stress when you clear your workspace of clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Soft, soothing music, it can kind of get you down. They also say that if you do Baroque music in the background, that keeps kids moving because they do a lot of things in fugues, where the music is chasing.
Oh,
like in Vivaldi, yeah. It chases, the music chases itself.
Right.
And that gets the brain chasing and keeping moving.
Instead of being stuck in a pattern, which a lot of music has that monotonous pattern and then maybe changes a little. But if you can get it to go all over the place, I could see how that would be helpful.
Right. Yeah. And then for anxiety, I often have people make a playlist, a happy list.
Yep.
And then some kids like heavy work. Some kids that have trouble settling down or feeling safe in their space, they will wear the weighted vests.
Yes.
Or have a weighted pillow on their...
We have lots of weighted blankets in our house.
Yeah. And then butterfly hugs are for, you know, that's just kind of like cross crawls, except you're patting yourself on the back in a pattern. And kind of counting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of gets your brain in gear. Mm-hmm. And then once it's in gear, what is it saying?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I want
to know. Automatic negative thoughts. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is how Daniel Amen talks about this quite a lot. Mm. And he wrote Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. And and he's kind of into everything now. But back in the day, he still is. He's just very expensive.
Yeah. So buy his book.
That's what I would suggest. Because the books are reasonable and they aren't that, you know, it's scientific and you've got a lot of research going into them. But definitely you can do these things, practice these things yourself, or go to your therapist and say, this is how I'd like to get well. And if they want to help you do it your way, they will.
So it's
automatic negative because you do not know you are thinking these things.
Exactly. You can go through hours and not even know it. Yeah, it's
right.
It's crazy.
One of the very first weeks that I work with somebody, that's one of the things we do. We find their favorite aunts, and usually it's one of these three. He has like 9 of them. And then we say, just notice it. You know, don't try to turn it around yet. Right. Just notice. Mm-hmm. Notice how often.
How often, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how long you stay on that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be careful how you talk to yourself because you are listening.
That's a good one.
this is a favorite, mind reading. And I think it probably starts in third grade and goes through our adulthood.
Yeah.
You believe you know what other people are thinking. Now, you don't ask them.
Right. You just assume.
You just, I know. They are all talking about me. And I know they think this about me and you're like, you know, you might not know.
Yeah. Yep. And if they do, it doesn't really matter. That's
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you could ask them. Oh, well, then they hurt my feelings. I said, well, you know, eventually we're going to take what people say as feedback rather than criticism.
Right.
Something you can do. Yeah. Guilt beating is a favorite. I should have worked on this harder. I must get first place. I ought to practice more. I have to win this.
Yeah.
All right. 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 I have one little girl who just sets an impossible schedule for herself. Nobody could do it. And halfway through the day, she will stop and watch an episode of Monk and pick.
Because she's so anxious from what she set herself up for. Yeah.
Because her shoulds are unreasonable.
Right.
And then they're not protecting you. They're making you smaller. blaming yourself for your own problems. Mm. That is a good one, you know.
Right. Yep. Yeah, just reliving instead of learning from something and moving on when we all make mistakes. But
right.
It's living in that mistake versus moving on from it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is get yourself a personal anteater.
Mm.
And actually, Daniel Amen has made a kid's book. And it is it's got an anteater on the cover. It's called Snouts.
Mm.
Okay. So you build your environment with words.
Yep.
Affirmations are good. They're, you have to repeat them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be looking at yourself in the mirror and repeating them. And with affirmations, you're saying it as though it is true.
Right. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you just keep saying it, and on the order of mantras. Mantras are sort of are more like they play in the background of your head.
Mm-hmm.
You find one,
kind of like directions.
Yeah, and then forgive, forget, move on. Forgive, forget, move on. I'm possible. I'm possible. I'm possible. And you just say it and say it and say it. And you can also get yourself a theme song and play that in the back of your head. The one I just have recently gotten, so I suggest to everybody, is from The Greatest Showman. This is Me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are a lot of very, very comforting hymns, very comforting mm-hmm. spirituals. And, you know, just some really good old time show tunes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right. They get you back to those basics, what really matters.
Yes.
We focus on so many things that don't matter anymore. That and we can get so caught up in it.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then pray more, worry less.
Yes. And we're going to spend all next week's broadcast on praying and mental health. So that's a good tie-in right there.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yes.
Because there is, you know, active, where you are praying actually kind of an empowering kind of thing. And then the contemplative prayer, you just sit.
Hmm.
And mm-hmm. be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
Listen for the direction.
Yeah. And try not to let all the thoughts in here take over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what happens when we try to be quiet, you either get the monkey mind, which mm-hmm. means, should I take the peas out of the oven? Or,
right.
or the big deal mind. Mm. In which something very small just becomes the most important thing in the world.
Right. Yeah.
And
blow it out of proportion.
It always happens mm-hmm. when you are trying to calm and be quiet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah. Before we get on to resources, I'm going to leave those up there. One of our viewers had said that about the computer, we're kind of going back to that, is that, you know, that they do know it's a way of escape. And I think that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, is having that conversation about, you know, do know that this is controlling you versus let's just remove that because that's the enemy. Well, no, the enemy is actually what's inside of it, and let's figure out how it works and how that enemy is attacking you. And so I love that approach, Mary, that you talked about, because that's so important. It's nice to know that differentiation between the technology itself. And technology can be good, but yet technology can be used in a lot of bad ways too, and
right.
perpetuate the issue.
I don't know who would have thought that it would get so that just so much evil could occupy a space.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even the dark web. Who knows what's on there?
Oh, I know.
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, that's bad enough. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. And how mm-hmm. people can get flim-flammed and fooled. And,
right, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is something.
Yeah.
But I should have put a bit of a disclaimer, because with all of these, I mean, I use them all, but there's nothing that you want to decide how much you're willing to spend, mm-hmm. and how much is this subscription worth, or how much is that?
Right. Yep. So I will take all these links.
Okay.
Since you sent me the slides, and I'll put them in the description of the YouTube so that people listening to our podcast will just be able to go to the YouTube version of this broadcast and be able to click on the links instead of having to copy them down. So don't rush trying to copy all this down from the screen.
Oh, no.
We'll make sure that you have that. So great.
Yeah. Yeah. The APA. Oh, do we have questions? Is there something?
Just the last one was just talking about the biblical version turnaround that I had with how I handled. And that really was how I defeated my own depression personally, was I plastered, and I still plaster, Bible verses everywhere in my house and walk by them. And like you were talking about, Mary, I read them until I believed them. Because a lot of times I struggled with myself in saying that really is how God sees me. That's really how, you know, me versus the me that I'd been cycling in my brain and telling myself and defeating myself over and over again. And yeah.
I had an adult hair puller, male, and he would take his Bible and hold it in both hands tightly and read the verses out loud until he felt himself letting go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there is a lot of power that is kind of all around us.
Yes, yeah. Well, we have to break those cycles, and I think that's what was so important from what you talked about at the beginning, was those cycles are there, and if we don't interrupt them and disrupt them, they will continue and just get worse, from the anxiety all the way to the depression. And so it's bringing in that truth and that light and the reprogramming that's so important. So, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so your website, you have it up here,
uh-huh.
is Travis, TravisPS.com.
That's correct.
Yep. Great.
That's correct.
Wanted to make sure our podcast listeners knew what that was too.
Yes. And it's getting a facelift, but it's still functioning. But I am getting it a little more attractive and cool. Organized a little better.
Mm-hmm. So. And what types of services do you offer?
I offer counseling, and I do that for anxiety, depression, and all the body-focused behaviors.
Yeah.
So trichotillomania, excoriation, so hair pulling, skin picking. Non-suicidal cutting, the really damaging nail biting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I am best with the end of middle school on up.
Okay.
Yep. I seem to be able to relate to them best. And then I do evaluations for attention deficit. And looking also at executive function, everything that happens in the frontal lobe, the planning, the organizing, initiating.
Right.
And I do some counseling for that as well. Now, all the counseling that I do is on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I do it in a series of 3 half-hours.
Okay.
And so it turns out to be much more economical.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find that people, you get in, you get to the point, you set some goals, then you work on it for a week and you see what happens.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
And I like that, because also at the end of your 3 times, you can say, you know, this doesn't work. You know, and if not three by six, you absolutely know if you're going to get somewhere or not. And that saves a lot of money.
Right. Know? Yep. Yep. Because you can just try it and see how that goes with your student. You just never know. And
that's... And then I do the CogMed coaching.
Oh, that's right.
And that is through Pearson. And if somebody wanted to try it, I have a demo that a demo thing that they can use.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And that, that is a time limited training. It's like a personal trainer
for
your brain.
Right. I remember you talking about that. Mm-hmm.
And you have a coach of, you know, a Zoom coach.
Right.
So, so that, those are the things that I do. And I, yes, I really enjoy doing them.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, definitely connect with Mary if this just resonates with you and some of the struggles you might be having with your student or maybe even personally yourself too. You know, we all we're not immune to all these issues within the homeschooling community, parents or children. A lot of times, us parents have the same issues our kids do, and so yes, it the struggle's real, and we understand that. So.
And that one site, selfcompassion.org, that's a good one for adults.
It's good to know. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mary, so much.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed this so much.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, like I said, it's a topic we definitely need to address. And Lisa, your last question was my self-defense class. Yeah. My daughter is going to be training to be a tattoo artist. So we decided that we should take self-defense so that she's prepared for what she might encounter. And so we're actually doing a mixed martial arts class. It's very interesting. So add that to my aerial silks, and I'm kind of all over the board right now with my exercise program, but it's really interesting. It's very much it's kind of more kung fu, tai chi mixed together with a lot of other things, but yeah. So but
it there's sounds like fun.
It is, yes, and I know a lot of kids that struggle those martial arts. If you can find a good instructor that understands your students, they are incredible programs. And I was actually just asked by our studio if I could train all their teachers how to work with students with disabilities. So because they often see it as their behavior as behavior instead of communication, and so it's good to know.
Right. And I think that was the Attitude magazine. It has a section on the best sports for someone with an attention deficit that, you know, keeps getting in trouble playing the team sports. So
yes, team sports are so difficult.
Maybe cross country.
Right, exactly. Yes, there's lots of options out there. And they're more lifelong types of sports versus those team sports that maybe you can only participate in till you're maybe in your 20s and you're going to hurt yourself really bad if you continue them.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mary. I appreciate all that you shared with us. And thank you, our audience, for being with us. Like I said, we're going to continue this conversation one more week because we have one more week in May. And we're going to be talking with our guest about the power of prayer to improve mental health. So touching on a little bit of what Mary shared with us, but we're going to kind of dive into that much deeper. And so I hope you join me then. And definitely check out all the resources on this. Yes. On the SPED Homeschool website. You'll find Mary's resources there too, as she is one of our partners. So thanks again, Mary. Appreciate that. And
thank you, everybody.
Joining us, we appreciate you as our audience, and just know that this broadcast was funded by viewers like you. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation to SPED Homeschool, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you again, same time, same place next week. God bless. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.